The following is a recording from Juan Carlos Gomez Dulk from iAdvise on Thursday, April 21st, 2016 at 10 a.m. Central. When you see in first quarter 2016. Good morning, and welcome to Unifin's first quarter 2016 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, instructions will be given as to the procedures to follow if you would like to ask a question. Thank you. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Juan Carlos Gomez Stolk of iAdvise Corporate Communications. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I'm very pleased to welcome you to Unifin Financiera's earnings call. This morning, the senior management team of Unifin will discuss the company's first quarter 2016 consolidated results for the press release distributed yesterday. If you have not yet received a copy of the earnings release, please contact the investor relations team at Unifin or iAdvise in New York at 212-406-3692 to obtain a copy immediately. During this call, management's comments may include forward-looking statements which are subject to various conditions. Thus, they may differ materially. We ask that you refer to this disclaimer in the press release for a complete note on forward-looking statements. Joining us today from Mexico City are Mr. Luis Barroso González, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Jose Maria Muñiz, Chief Institutional Relations Officer, Mr. Gerardo Mier Iterán, Chief Financial Officer, and Mr. David Pernas, Investor Relations Officer. I will now turn the call over to Jose Maria Muñiz, Chief Institutional Relations Officer of Unifin, who will be presenting the company's results for the first quarter of 2016. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Juan Carlos. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today as we kick off a new year of results for our company. We are very pleased you can join us, and as always, we appreciate your interest. First, I will review some of the operational highlights, and then I will continue with the company's financial performance. At the conclusion of the reviews, we will gladly open up the floor for questions. In summary, we are very happy to report that the first quarter results surpassed our expectations. We continue to see resiliency in our performance despite of the negative effect of first quarter seasonality, as well as the backdrop of weaker peso and volatility in the commodities market. Unifin has continued to maintain a steady rate of originating new portfolios in the small and medium business segment of Mexico, and we are encouraged by the growth we are seeing in the market. Let us begin by discussing our revenues for the quarter. As a result of the operational growth, Unifin's total revenue in the first quarter of 2016 was 1.9 billion pesos, up 31% from the first quarter of 2015, mainly driven by leasing portfolio revenue growth of 37%, and to a lesser extent by growing revenues from our factoring and auto loan businesses. Both of these businesses are increasingly contributing to total revenues, thereby representing a larger portion of our portfolio. Total portfolio grew 61% to 20.6 billion pesos at the close of the first quarter 2016, compared to 12.8 billion at the end of the same period last year. By the end of the quarter, our portfolio was composed 73% by our operating leasing portfolio, which grew 52% year over year, and as I mentioned before, was the main driver of the revenues of the company. The factoring portfolio, which now represents 10% of the total portfolio, increased 62% compared to a year ago. And finally, the auto and other loans portfolio share increased an impressive 114% and now represents 12.6% of our total portfolio. If we analyze the total portfolio, we can see that it continues to reflect a healthy and diversified group of over 4,000 clients located across the country, with a significant presence in Mexico City and Monterrey metropolitan areas. It is important to mention that these areas jointly account for approximately 60% of our business. By the end of the first quarter, no client represented over 2% of our portfolio, and approximately 83% of our client base had approved credit lines for up to 7.5 million pesos. A breakdown of the portfolio by the economic sector shows an even distribution across a small and medium business operating in commerce, electricity, transportation, mining, energy-related services, construction, capital goods, and medical, among many others. Although we continue to see demand from all sectors and geographies, during this quarter, we maintain a conservative growth outlook given the uncertainty in the macroeconomic conditions. We continue our prudent strategy, thereby applying a strict criteria when approving new leases, contracts, and loans. Our approval ratios stand at 37.5%. However, to give you an idea of our potential for growth, Unifin's current backlog of new businesses is equal to 31 billion pesos. For the rest of 2016, we expect to close 45% of this figure, which is calculated as the lower end of our statistical and historical analysis. This amount does not take into account new origination that we expect to generate every quarter from the SME market for 2016. So far, during the first quarter of 2016, we have originated 3.2 billion pesos of new business in our leasing portfolio, 1.9 billion in our factoring portfolio, and 200 million pesos in auto loans. Regarding financial health, the non-performing loan ratio of our portfolio at the end of the first quarter of 2016 was 0.68%, compared to 0.66% 1 year ago. This ratio demonstrates the company's high-quality portfolio and the sound financial health of the business across the board. Our revenue growth is the result of the efforts of our 175 sales representatives located across the country. Last quarter, we opened 3 new sales offices in Veracruz, Merida, and León. During 2016, we plan on opening new offices as we see fit. Some sales offices may serve as extension or satellite offices to our current locations. In addition, most of our regional offices have matured, and we expect a growth link to this observed maturity. Let us move now to discuss our funding sources for Unifin's growth. The first and most important one is our securitizations of our leasing portfolio. We believe that securitizations are the most efficient source of working capital, as such are non-recourse to Unifin and are most affordable source of funding. On last February 12, we completed our 12th securitization and obtained an additional 2.5 billion pesos under a long-term program for an amount of 10 billion, and the issuance rate was CIF plus 180 basis points and has a 5-year maturity. All of the company securitizations have obtained AAA ratings by Standard & Poor's and HR ratings. And given our strong rating agency qualifications, Unifin has maintained good levels of interest expenses, which have had a positive impact on our financial margins. For the following quarters, we are considering additional funding alternatives, such as leasing and auto loan securitization, as well as new bank facilities to support the growth of our operations. Today, Unifin outstanding debt is equal to $366.4 million, resulting from the high yield bond issued in 2014. This debt, as you know, is fully hedged in both principal and interest since all the way from the issuance date and until maturity. I will now move on to give you a summary of our financial performance for the first quarter of 2016. Total revenues reached 1.9 billion pesos during the first quarter of 2016, a 31% increase compared to the same period of 2015, mainly driven by growth in the company's origination volume on all of its products. The financial margin achieved during the first quarter of 2016 was 522 million pesos, up 36% from the 384 million pesos achieved in the first quarter of 2015. Our financial margin accounted for 26.6% of our total revenues when compared to the 25.6 reported in the first quarter 2015. During the first quarter of 2016, administration and promotional expenses increased 42% to support our new portfolio origination. In addition, commissions paid to the sales force increased slightly, given the higher number of representatives in our sales offices. We achieved an efficiency ratio of 37%. Our operating expenses represented 9.7% of our total revenue, a figure that met our expectations considering the increase in the company's operation and origination volumes. Operating income reached in the first quarter of 2016 was 319 million pesos, a 26.3% increase when compared to 252.9 million pesos in the first quarter of 2015. It is important to mention that the results reported in the first quarter of 2016 are completely driven by Unifin's operation and exclude non-recurring income booked, if you remember, in the first quarter 2015. This non-recurring income was derived from the effect of, first, the repurchase of our international notes for the total amount of $33.4 million, and second, the mark-to-market valuation of our cross-currency swaps. As you may recall, during the third quarter of 2015, we ceased to treat these financial instruments as derivatives with trading purposes, and these are now treated as derivatives with hedging purposes. For this reason, we are no longer booking extraordinary non-recurring income as operating income. Finally, Unifin's net income in the first quarter of 2016 was 254 million pesos, up 35% from 188 million pesos reported in the same period of 2015. Again, our net income during this quarter is fully the result of the normal operation and excludes any extraordinary non-recurring items like I mentioned before. Now, let us discuss some of our balance sheet items. At the end of the first quarter 2016, Unifin had 2 billion pesos of available cash and equivalents and approximately 12 billion pesos of available funding. Non-bank debt represented 15.8 billion pesos by the end of the quarter, including 9.5 billion pesos of our leasing ABSs, non-recourse to Unifin, and the international notes issued in 2014. The total bank debt was 5.1 billion pesos. Unifin's total net debt position resulted in a financial leverage ratio of 2.7 times compared to 4.7 times 1 year ago. This ratio is calculated as financial liabilities, excluding the securitization, over shareholders' equity. The improvement in the ratio is mainly driven by a capital increase from the IPO proceeds. Regarding our financial performance ratios, at the close of the first quarter 2016, Unifin's ROA was 4.1% compared to the 5.1% at close of the first quarter 2015. And our ROE was 23.4% for the first quarter 16, which met our expectations given the excellent current capital structure of the company and also considering Unifin's ability to generate profitability. In summary, and before moving to the Q&A session, I would like to highlight that 2016 is poised to be yet another year of solid growth for Unifin. We are certain of the strength of our strategy and are convinced in the opportunities that lay ahead of us to continue penetrating the largely underserved SME market with our value-added services, providing broad access to the financial capital goods. In addition, we believe that our prudent strategy, coupled with our growth efforts, will yield solid profitability indicators to our stakeholders. This will conclude our presentation. I would like to thank you all for your attention, and at this point, we can move on to your questions. Operator, please proceed to the Q&A session. Thank you.
Certainly. At this time, we will open the floor for your questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touch-tone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, just press star 2. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1 now. Thank you. We now have our first question coming from Aníbal Valdez from Barclays.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the opportunity of making questions. I have a general question about the NPL ratios and the NPL cycle of your business. So I just want to have a better idea. How should we think about a normalized level of NPL ratio or losses relative to the loan portfolio? Or how do you see this business asset quality in a steady state? And I'm asking this because obviously the company has grown materially over the recent years. So probably, of course, you're in an early stage of the asset quality cycle, and they might be also understated relative to a steady state scenario of growth, because obviously it takes time for NPLs to grow and your base has been growing much faster. So that's the general question. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you for your question. NPL performance, if you look our history, has been below 1% for the last 10 years. So we've been growing at a very impressive rate since the beginning. Our non-performing loan ratio grew up for this period exactly 20 million pesos, which compared to the total amount of our portfolio is a non-material growth for us. We're talking from 0.68% to 0.66%. That's why, if you remember, we have an approval ratio of all the demand that we get of 37.5%. That means that we reject 63% of all the demand that we get. So this can prove to you and the market that Unifin's quality in its analysis in the credit process is very excellent. So, and that's one of our main pillars to maintain a very healthy portfolio. If Unifin will keep on growing and the NPLs will be affected by this growth, Unifin would probably would take a different strategy and reduce the growth pace in order to maintain a healthy portfolio.
All right, thank you. Do you guys have a target for asset quality for the long run? Would it be fair to say that NPLs in the long run should be around 1% of your loan portfolio?
Yeah, I believe that we will continue with our strategy of having non-performing loans below 1%. But yes, I mean, arriving at the 1% level, it would still be very healthy. So for this year, we will continue to refrain from arriving at 1% level.
All right, thank you very much.
The market, just to remember, the market is between 4 and 5% non-performing loans.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Dan Furtado from Philadelphia Financial.
Good morning or afternoon, and thank you for taking my questions. The first is on the discussion about the pipeline. I just want to see, I just want to make sure I'm doing this correctly. You said there's about $31 billion in the pipeline. A conservative close ratio would be about 45%. So let's say that's about $14 billion. Mm-hmm. What are your average loans about 4 years, or are they closer to 5 years?
No. The average of our leasing contracts around 37 months.
Okay, so what I'm trying to figure out is, at the year end, you had $25 billion in assets, or $14 billion in lease assets. So should I assume that basically one-third of the year-end number burns off, and then we add the $14 billion to that to kind of get to 4Q16 numbers?
Yes, you are doing the right numbers. However, I would like to mention just one thing. Out of those that one third that closes or matures in this year, some of them they will probably refinance their lease for another year.
Got it. But I would, and those are not in your pipeline guidance of 35.
No. No.
Okay. Then the other question I had was, in the previous quarter, you had mentioned in terms of operating expense to be, at least I think you said this, 9 to 10% in the first and second quarter, and then going to 12 to 13% in the third and fourth for a whole year of 11 to 12%. Is that still a good range to use for 2016?
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, it is correct.
Okay. Oh, okay, great. And then my other question was, the tax rate of this quarter of 20% was substantially higher than the 1.7% in the fourth quarter, but then lower than the 26%, 43%, and 56% rates in the, you know, three quarters before that. What should we use for the remainder of this year when we think about the tax rate?
Around 23-24%.
And is that on a per quarter basis or for the entirety of the year?
The entire year.
Excellent. Okay. Those were all my questions. Thank you for the time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Carlos Rivera from Citi.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for taking my question. My question is regarding your net financial margin. So in the quarter, your portfolio grew a very strong 61% year over year, but the net financial margin was up by less than that. So just trying to reconcile both, why is this behavior? Are we seeing any pricing pressures or maybe any effects on the mix of the leasing and loan portfolio? Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos. Let me explain something. Remember that each quarter, the origination differs 1 month to another month. In the case of the first quarter, 2016, the first month and a half was very, very slow. So the high origination that we made was at the end of February and the first 2 weeks of March. So what happens with that is that the new rents and the new revenues from those rents will be registered until April. Okay? So that's why the difference between one financial margin to the other one.
Okay, thanks. And a second question, if I may. The origination was indeed stronger this quarter. Just wondering if this is more of a timing issue, because maybe some contracts that you were expecting to close until the second quarter, you were able to close it in the first quarter, or are we seeing a significant pickup in demand versus your prior expectation? Thank you.
Like I mentioned in my comment at the beginning, the first quarter we expected to be irregular due to the fact, first of all, of the seasonality, and secondly, because of the macro and local economic situation. As you may recall, in the second week of February, the government announced a cut in the expenses for Pemex, and they also reduced some of the budgets that were not very significant. That made our entrepreneurs and our clients to start making decisions and start taking more loans that we were expecting. That's why the growth of the month, and as I mentioned at the beginning of my presentation, surpassed our expectations, because we expected something lower than what we registered.
All right. Thank you very much.
No, thank you, Carlos.
Thank you. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phones now. That is star 1 to ask a question. Our next question comes from Kathy Collins from Aberdeen.
Hello, and congratulations on the very strong results once again. I just had one question on the capitalization ratio. So when you did the IPO last year, you mentioned that 15% would be a sort of comfortable level for you to get to, and we're quite close to that now. So I'm just thinking, where is it going to go in the next few quarters? You know, you're kind of implying that there will still be quite strong growth in your loan portfolio. I'm just wondering where you see the capitalization going towards the end of the year.
Thank you, Kathy. Yes, if you remember during the roadshow, we always mentioned that we would love to have our cap index around the mid-teens. And we are doing so. However, our profits are increasing, so that is helping also to maintain a very strong cap index between 13 and 17%. So that's what our expectations are, to maintain a cap index between 13 and 17%.
Okay, thank you.
No, thank you.
Thank you again. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 now. Thank you. Our next question comes from Alexandra Berg from GMP Securities.
Hey, hi, this is Alvaro Gonzalez. Thank you for the call. Quick question. Have you seen any material impact from Pemex providers, so to speak, as they are not necessarily getting paid at this point? I don't know, how is that translating in your numbers?
As you all know, we don't have any concentration in service providers to payments. And so far, we have not had any delays from our clients that provide services to payments. So no, we don't look at the future as something that might alter our non-performing loan.
Perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Rodolfo Alave from GMB.
Hi, it's Michel Galvez. Could you please share with us like your funding sources and the strategy on that topic? And also, I saw that the short-term debt was reduced during the quarter. So what type of debt was rolled over and what are you expecting for this year?
Thank you, Michel. Can you repeat the first one, please?
Yeah, your strategy on your funding sources. I see you have available liquidity lines for up to 12 million pesos, like the composition of this. What amount is from banks, what amount are from the local securitization program, and that decomposition of that.
Okay, we have programs available for 17 billion pesos regarding securitizations, out of which we've been used already 9.5 billion pesos. So we still have remaining eight billion pesos. From the non-bank debt, well, it's only the global bond, and that one matures and is a bullet payment on 2019. And in the bank side, on the bank side, the flexibility that we have there is, I would say, it rounds close to
我會說我們有
capabilities from the warehousing line. For instance, we have warehousing lines for the securitization that add up close to 2 billion pesos, and then we have extra lines, I would say close to 3.5 billion pesos, but new lines of credit have been already work with different institutions, and we are happy to say that they're going in a very good profile.
Okay, thanks.
Gracias, Michel.
Thanks.
Thank you. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press *1 now. Again, that is *1 if you would like to ask a question. At this time, I'm showing no further questions. I'd like to turn the call over to Mr. Jose Maria Muniz for closing remarks.
Thank you, operator. Thank you all for your trust and interest in Unifin and participating in this conference call. We look forward to continuing to getting to know you, and in case you have any additional questions or any additional need for information, please don't hesitate to contact us. Our management team is here to answer all your questions, and we look forward to hearing from you. Have a good day, and thank you very much again.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's teleconference. You may now disconnect.